Take your Bible tonight and turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Glad to have you here tonight. Thank you for coming. James chapter 2, we're beginning at verse 1, read down to verse 13. James chapter 2. James way back in the Bible, amen. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there and sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? That's a question. That love him. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppose you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Let me just pull over for a second. There is a beautiful illustration about the Ten Commandments. And if the Bible says if you break one of the Ten Commandments, you've broken them all. What it means is, you remember the stone that they were written on? And you'd have to knock off one of those and break the whole law. So one man said the Ten Commandments is kind of like a glass plate. And you can't just take a piece out of it because it'll break. And so God's Word says that we are transgressors of the law. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. It's kind of interesting. A lot of people like they have their special little laws. They have their special little judgment. They have their special little things that they're really up here, but there's a certain things in their life are kind of on here. And God said, hey, listen now. You break one, you break it all. Amen. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and do so, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Years ago I heard, you remember when, who's that football player that supposedly did not kill his wife, but they said he did? O.J. Simpson. Remember that thing? And I remember a lot of people, I said, I know he's guilty. Dr. Jack Howes preached a sermon about that. He said, why do you want people to be guilty? He said, that doesn't make me happy. That doesn't make you happy to think people are guilty. You know, we want people to do right. Amen. But he preached a sermon on it. He says, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Mercy rejoices against judgment. I am noticing a lot of people today that are just kind of gone crazy on this judgment business. And it has nothing to do with them. There's certain things in life that just, that's not your area of justice. That's not your, you know. All right, for instance, Pastor Rick and how he deals with his three boys and little girl, really none of your business. Now, unfortunately, I'm his pastor, and it has to be my business. But also, since he is a pastor, he's got to keep Timothy, you know. But I see some people that are telling people about, well, you shouldn't do that to your child. Well, I didn't know that you were paying the bills. I didn't know that it's kind of like someone telling you, hey, Pastor, you can't eat that. You've got diabetes. And I said, you know, the last time I remember, I don't remember paying you any money for being my doctor. My daughter-in-law, she's really good at that. Boy, she has nice little saying back. I can't say some things, but anyway, one time that she was at the church and at her church, and she took a big old donut, and some lady said to her, "You can't have that." And she looked at it and says, "What do you mean I can't have it?" And she said, "I stuck the whole thing in my mouth. I was so mad." Don't mess with a diabetic. Don't tell them what to eat, what not to eat. It may be they're having a down and they need some sugar or something. Leave them alone, amen. They'll die sooner or later, just like you're going to die. But anyway, be careful about your judgment, all right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Help us, Lord, to live the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of my life, I have questioned and wondered, what is it with people that call themselves Christians, they attend church regularly, give support to their church, but they're ornery and cantankerous and fussy. An old skunk wouldn't even want to hang around them. Always fussing and griping. What's wrong with these people? I've wondered that. I just as a little boy, I always wondered that. How can that be? Are you kidding me? I remember my home church. I remember a couple old, I almost said something. A couple old ladies. A couple elderly females. That's about as best I can say about them. And have you ever know what a party line is? How many had a party line when you're growing up? And you pick it up, and sometimes you'd hear a kick, and you knew someone was on there. Amen. Well, I was home, and they still had party lines when I was out of college. And I picked up the phone. I'm sorry, I did. I listened a little bit. And this woman was just cussing and swearing such terrible words. And then this other lady said, "I can't believe it." And she said her name, and I'm going like, they only live about three houses down. They heard me preaching Sunday morning. I thought, how can you do that? How can you use God's name in vain? How can you call people those things if you're a Christian? Explain that to me. I guess I'm ignorant. I guess I'm just simple when it comes to that. I thought that when you got saved, there's something happened in your heart and your life. And you got rid of those dirty words. And you were kind and cautious about how you treated others. I thought the Bible said, love thy neighbor as thyself. I said, what is going on here? Disunity in church members. Hey, let me tell you something. Satan knows that if he can keep a group of people that come together, that learn scriptures, to concentrate on something good, endeavor to help others, if he can get them agitated with each other, he knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. We're not to be agitated at each other. We're supposed to help each other. We're supposed to be a blessing to each other. We're supposed to be the ones that says, hey, I want to help you out. What'd somebody say, amen? He knows that you'll never get anything done if you're fussing and biting and complaining all the time. And you're jealous about this. And this person's got that. And I don't have that. And I should have that. It's not fair that they're doing that. And I can't believe a preacher asked him to do that. And should have asked me to do that. And are you kidding me? He said, preach, what's going on? Nothing yet. I just want to nip it in the bud. Amen. It's always easy to preach against something, brother, that ain't happened yet. Amen. Psalm 133, verse 1. I want you to look at your Bible there. This is going to be a real quick sermon. I'm going to have you out of here at least by 7 o'clock. So hang on. I'm going to preach fast. You listen fast. We'll get out of here fast. Come on, brother. You're supposed to say amen in the back there, Scott. Thank you. All right. Some things just don't change. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in... It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garment. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that transcended down upon the Mount of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. That is what God thinks of unity. It smells sweet to Him. Nothing like having a home that's unified. Nothing like a great home that has a mom and daddy love each other, and they're very careful about their deportment, careful about how they speak to one another. There's nothing about a beautiful home like that. That's the kind of place I like to be around. Amen. When my wife and I first got married, something happened, and I was going to take care of it. I said, now listen. I grew up in a home that had great unity. I grew up in a home that Dad never said anything mean or anything questionable to my mother. And I grew up in a home that my mother never said anything like that to my daddy. And I said, we will not have it in my home. Now, if you want to get a divorce right now, we're going to do it. Because I will not live that way. So I told my wife. I said, I'm not going to live that way. I will not. I will not live that way. I'm not going to live in a house of confusion. I'm not going to live in a house of yelling and screaming and complaining and griping. I will not. I cannot live that way. And we made a promise with each other that we would treat each other with respect and treat each other with great love. I don't know how you can live that any other way as a Christian. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I can't fathom it. When you have disunity in marriage, I am reminded when Moses was in the wilderness and gave a letter of divorcement, it was because of hatred and hardness of heart. When we observe the scriptures, we find that Jesus was very passionate, very vocal about the fact that we love one another, that we forgive, that we put up, yes, put up, that we allow, that we take it on the chin, you might say, we might cover for one another. So important that we do that. He said that love was to maintain all things. He said it was the main thing. Even from the beginning. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. And this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 12. Not as Cain, who was the wicked one, and slew his brother. That word slew means he butchered him. Slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. I ask this question, why do churches seem to have missed this teaching? Why do churches miss these teachings? Hundreds of churches, thousands of churches are split because some people are unwilling to shut their mouth, to cover for the other, to take care of each other. They split. I ask this question, why do churches miss this teaching? What it seems like to me is that we have learned to take what we want and are willing to disregard the things that we don't want. They said President Jefferson made his own Bible. What he did was he took his penknife out and cut every verse out of the Bible that he didn't like. Somebody said he had a very small Bible. Have you ever heard someone say, well, he has selective hearing? Now, I want to talk to you about that a little bit. If I take my hearing aids out, I'm about deaf. And sister, do not leave this building without helping me. My Bluetooth went out, and I can't understand why. If I take my hearing aids out, I cannot hear. But I can hear consonants. Ice cream, I can hear that very well. Cake, I can hear that really good, you know. And I can hear all those wonderful things. But there are certain sounds that say, you know, that people say that I can't hear them. They don't resonate in my hearing drum. It just doesn't work. And so some people say, well, I have selective hearing. Well, it's because that I can't hear. And there are certain things that I cannot hear. It drives me crazy. Thank God these new hearing aids I've got, they work probably about 1,000 times better than any other hearing aids I've ever had. And thank you, sister. Boy, if you're looking for a pair of hearing aids, that's a gal to go get them. I mean, they're just great. They have a Bluetooth that when your phone rings, it answers right in there. I don't have to put the thing. I was talking the other day, and guys kept saying things to me. I said, I'm on the phone. He looked at me like a goofball. He said, how can you be on the phone? You got your phone down there. I said, Bluetooth. And he goes, oh. But there's certain people say they have selective hearing. While a child was taught that it was a responsibility to keep the whole law. Isn't that what the Bible says? We're all taught that. We're to keep the whole law. Everything this Bible says, we're supposed to keep it. James says in James chapter 2 and verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. There's that breaking of that law again. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. It doesn't tell who the another is. It's talking about the person next to you or the person in front of you or the person up here preaching. Love one another. And he says, as I have loved you, aren't you glad the Father loved you? And that ye also love one another by this. Did you hear that? By this. I want you to look in your Bible now. This is John 13:34. Look in your Bible, John 13:34. If you're not looking in your Bible, get it on a pencil. John 13:34-35. By this, did you hear that? By this, shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have what?
Love.
What?
Love one another.
Huh. So you're telling me I'm downtown and I'm with my wife and I fuss with her, she fusses with me. What are they saying? What do you think they're saying? What do they think they're thinking? By this shall all men know that you, my disciples, you love one another. So what are they thinking? Hey, next time you pop off about something, I was pastor of the First Baptist Church out in South Dakota, and I was on the fire department. I was on the ambulance squad. I was EMS. And I was in the ambulance. We're going to a deal and said, hey, what's this happening over to your church? I said, what do you mean? All so-and-so is ticked off at so-and-so. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you... So what does this guy think about that person that's popping off about the bad things about this guy, this other farmer? What's he thinking? He's not a disciple of Christ. He is not a Christian. So you have to be very careful about this thing here. Now God has put a leather band around it. He's put an ivory gate in it to keep it inside. And when you bark off or when you gripe or complain or say something bad about someone, that unsaved person can say, you're not one of his. Because he says, by this shall all men know. How do we talk about our family? How do we talk about our family? What do you guys say about your wife? Ooh, you want to get me mad? You start talking about Uriah around other people. I'm going to come right up and talk to you about that. That is a personal thing. You don't. You want to come to the pastor and talk about it, fine, but you're talking about somebody else. You don't talk about your wife because let me just give you this, okay? Mom and daddy have a fuss. They send the kids to bed. They're hot. They get in the bedroom, and all of a sudden, Mama says, "Honey, I was wrong," and he says, "I know you were." And he's telling the truth. And she says, I know I was. And I'm sorry. And all of a sudden, they're sucking out eyeballs and kissing each other and whatever else is what they do. Next morning, Mom and Dad are okay. Well, what about those kids that saw you fussing and griping and complaining? They didn't see that making up. They didn't see that time that you said, hey, I'm really sorry. I just had a bad day today. I know I shouldn't excuse myself, but I did have a bad day. And those stinky kids you gave me, they're tearing the place apart, and I'm tired. But did the kids hear that apology? No, they didn't hear it. So that's why it's so important. You watch what you say. If you have to become the great attorney or the great judge, and you have to speak to your client, get her away or get him away someplace, and the kids don't hear it. Because your children ought to always think that mommy and daddies are Christian. And mommy and daddies, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you love one another. That's right. So, well, that's talking about somebody down the street. No, it's not. It's talking about your most intimate partner of your life. We got to be very careful about this, Christians. We got to be very careful about what's going on in our homes. Because what happens at our home, you're going to bring it to the church. And I don't go for fussing. I don't like fussing. I hate fussing. I'm going to tell you probably the most saddest day of my life. I went to the Calvary Baptist Church of Wells, Minnesota. And our church was really flying. I started with about four or five teenagers. I had it up to almost 40 teenagers come to youth group every night. The church was going. We were soul winning. Man, this thing is going great, okay? And the church was over 200 people. And they had a business meeting. And my father-in-law gets, he's the pastor, and he's going over some things. And this woman, hyena, whatever you want to call her, I got some better words for her, but probably wouldn't be good right now. And she got up and literally laid into my father-in-law. And it hurt me so bad. My father-in-law was the godliest man I ever met. Greatest preacher you ever meet. He's just one of those guys that you looked up to. And this woman hadn't gone to the church very long, but my father-in-law said, oh, she's just picking bones. Yeah, I said, she's picking your bones. And all of a sudden, thank God for a couple of deacons at church. They stood up and said, we don't need to talk like that in our church. And but that's not the way we do business here. You know what I did? Brother Commander, I went outside and I laid my dinner out on the front lawn. I was so sick. I just vomited. I was so upset to think that I didn't know that was supposed to happen in a church. It's not supposed to happen in a church. I mean, we can have disagreements, but man, let's talk it out. If you say, well, and the majority of the church says, you know, this is what we like to do. Well, then let them go. We just had a mission conference meeting in there, and I just said, hey, what do we got? Throw it out at us. I don't care what it comes. Throw it. This is brainstorming. Tell us what do you think? Well, do this. Well, somebody said this. Somebody said, okay, it's good. Amen. You want to paint the church pink? That might help. They tell me when you paint things pink, people it kind of calms them a little bit. Amen. But anyway. That's why you got to die on, brother. Amen. So we as Christians ought to be very careful how we talk to one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you love one another. Hey, I wonder how many disciples we got in here tonight. How you doing at home, Dad? How you doing at home, Mama? Hey, how you doing, kids? Yeah, you're responsible for your actions, too. I don't care who you are. You're older or younger. You're still responsible for your action. I hear this all the time. Well, I just didn't feel good. Well, I'd rather that people didn't talk to me when they're not feeling good that way. Because I may be feeling pretty good. But you just poked a hole in my tire, and I'm going... He said, well, I won't tell a lie. Well, then get on your knees before God and ask God to change your heart and your life. Amen. According to Scripture, And I would assume for some of you that no one knows that you are a Christ disciple, because if you were, you would not be acting like that towards another. Jesus said, John chapter 15 and verse 12, I think he's pretty good to quote, amen. I said, Jesus said, I think he's pretty good enough to quote, amen.
Amen.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This sounds very serious. Wow. The way you love others is the way Jesus loves you. These things I commanded, that you love one another. Paul wrote to Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectionate one towards another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. We were at the chaplain's training, and I always jump in the back seat. I try always to do that. There's guys that are a lot younger than I am, but I feel sorry for them. They do not have the like I do. And I can get in and fold in and sit down pretty good. And this guy said, no. I said, no, man, I want you to sit in front. He said, but it's hard to get in. I said, I'm already in. I don't need to sit in the front seat. I don't have to be first in line. I don't have to do the things that some people think that they have to have. Hey, I prefer one another. I'd rather you go, hey, you get a new car? I'm glad you got a new car. I have never once in my life, of all the time, ever wished I had what you had. Because the Bible says I'm not supposed to do that. Now, y'all glad that you don't have my truck, because the engine went out the other day and they're putting a brand new engine for me. So aren't you glad you don't have my new truck? Here you, boy, I like that truck. Hopefully by this week I'll have a new engine in my quote-unquote new truck. It's not a new truck, but it's going to be a new engine, amen. There's some people that just want everything everybody else has. Or they say, how much does that cost? How much you pay for that? And we like to say, no, you're stinking business. In fact, if you want to know how much it costs, then you pay the next month's payment. You didn't know how good a deal I got. You didn't know that my son knows a bunch of people that know some that I got a good deal on. Praise the Lord. Just rejoice. Say, man, I'm glad you got that. Somebody came to my house the other day and said, wow, that's a big TV. Yeah, we've had it for 5 years, but that's all. Yeah, it's a nice TV. It's a nice TV. But I was 65 before I got a nice big TV. Said, man, that's a brand new motorcycle. Yeah, paid for it too. Well, how'd you do that? Well, I just watched my P's and Q's, my pennies and nickels and dimes, and paid for it. And I can go buy other stuff during that time. You say, wow, I wish I had it. Yeah, you're 25. You're not to have one until you're 64. How old was I? 66 when I got it. Amen. Say, well, I wish I had that. No, you don't. Because they break. Last week, I put $900 in my Chevy Trailblazer. I try to keep a little bit of money back to pay the bill. If you need money tonight, I'm going to pray for you. But I'll guarantee you, I'll try everything I can to help you. Don't be envious of somebody else's stuff. You know, we have a situation in my house that it's kind of difficult, okay? Let me tell you something. I've never asked for anybody else's trouble. I'm just happy with what I got. I went down to see my brother Rudy Smith. And after spending one day with him and his wife, I thank the Lord for what the trouble I had. I've seen people. His friend, he told me the same thing about his friend. His friend is a pastor. His wife got Alzheimer's. And he said, you have never heard a woman curse and swear so bad. He said he cannot even take her to church anymore. He said, boy, I'm glad what I got. And you go around, you look around people's troubles and heartache and stuff. Hey, why don't you just love people? Why don't you just accept them and say, you know what? You know, something going on tonight with Rachel's little boy. It just crushes me. I see heartaches and sorrows all the time. Oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry. Sorry for what? This is life. This is how I can show you that I'm as human as you are. Do you know how bad it was for me to know that y'all were having a time at the party? I am Mr. Party. I enjoy parties, don't I, brother?
Yes, sir.
I mean, there ain't nothing like a party. Man, I'm ready to go to a party. And I sat, and about every 5 minutes I thought of you, and I prayed for you. I thank God you got to go. But you know, not one time did I ever complain. I ain't complaining. I ain't going to complain. I know God has these things. I want you to get a hold of that. Is this what God has given to me so I can show you that this is the way we're supposed to live? I'm not doing a very good job of it sometimes, okay, but I just want you to know that this is the way we live. We keep on. We praise the Lord. We thank God for what He's given to us. We love one another. We're a little bit more careful now what we think about other people's and their troubles and their heartaches and their sorrows. I sat by a chaplain from Alaska, and I'd met her down in the down at the ATS, which is the annual training seminar. And we went to the class in Flexi together, and she sat next to me. And I know some folks from her Anchorage, and I know some families up there, and she knows them. And it was a tough course. And she asked me to. She said, "I want everybody to write down the hardest thing that ever happened to you in your life." And I said, no. And she said, "What do you mean, no, Chaplain Sheriff?" I said, "I don't want to think about it." She said, "This is part of the course." And guess what this old, tough old buzzard from Montana did? She said, "What is going on?" And I said, "Well, I've been through a few things in my life." And I said, "I just don't like to open up that can and look at it." Anybody like that? Got some cans you don't want to look in? The smell, the thoughts, everything. And afterwards she says, "Chapter, I'm sorry." And she gave me a red glass heart. And she said, "I give these to my Alaskan highway patrolmen when they go through some pretty deep things. I want you to have it." And I put it in my pocket. Pretty much I carry it all the time. I've lost it. I can't find it now, but I'll find it. It's in probably one of my coats or something. I'll find it. But you know, some things in our lives we just don't want to open up to. But the Lord God said, "Hey, love one another. We have no option. You got to love me. You got to forgive me. And I got to love you, and I got to forgive you." And that's what God was. Hey, let me tell you something. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That's some pretty clear teaching. Doesn't have to be deep. But thus saith the Lord God. Amen, Marcia. I'm glad you're listening. If she can get it, you can get it, okay? You can get it. You just don't want to get it because you're honoring too prissy, too set in your ways. You just don't want to get it. You say, "Why? I know what I want." Give it up. Just here. All Lord wants to do is says, "Here. Here, take it, Lord. I can't live like this anymore. I can't take it anymore. I can't stand to live that way anymore." Last illustration, I'm done. When I was passing the church at First Baptist Church out in South Dakota, there was a few people there that were just kind of interesting. Maybe that's the best way to say interesting. And being on the EMS, my wife said, honey, she ran the ladies' meeting. She said, honey, I think it would be a great idea if you came down, brought the ambulance with you and some of the other personnel, and let the ladies walk through the ambulance, and you're able to talk to them about what we do in the ambulance. Because there are some people who've never been around the ambulance. How many have ever rode an ambulance? How many never rode an ambulance? Raise your hand. How many never been inside of an ambulance? Oh, might be a good idea if you go to see what's going on in there, all right? A lot of things going on in there. So, I thought it'd be a great idea to take blood pressures. In heartbeats. So I brought them through. They come, and I said, have a seat. I said, this is what I do when I'm in the ambulance. You can sit on the gurney. You don't have to lay down, be strapped down. Just sit on it, and I'll take it. So I was doing it. Well, a couple of all these people sat down, and I noticed their ears were red. You ever notice that? People's ears red, and their neck was kind of red. And I took this one. It was 190 over 100. It was 190 over 120. And I said to her, I says, are you taking blood pressure medicine? No! Boy, really snotty. I said, you better talk to your doctor. Because I said, it's 190 over 120. That was my job. I knew how to do it. I mean, I did hundreds of thousands of blood pressures. And I'd do them on the run when the sirens and everything and the horns were honking. I could hear it. I did about three of those rascals. That's a nice name for them. And all of them, their blood pressure's at 180 or more. Let me tell you something. As a Christian, that should not be brothers, sisters. We should love one another. You know what? The best thing is just forgive them. You know all the things they did to Jesus? What do you say, Father, forgive them? Did they ask for forgiveness? No, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. There's people that just seem like they just got to get a hold of stuff. And you got to keep it churning, you know. Said, hey, no, I'm not going that way. I'm not going that way. I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I want to love one another so that others may see that I'm one of his kids. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, help us to deal with these things in our hearts and our lives. Help us, Lord Jesus, to get to the point in our lives that I'm not going there. I'm going to love you. I don't care. You can't make me not love you. Lord God, speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us, Lord, that we'd be willing to hear. Anyone here tonight not sure you're saved, not sure you're on your way to heaven? Be a good time to take care of that tonight. Folks, just get rid of some of that stuff. You remember that sermon I preached? Leave it alone, Dwayne. Just leave it alone. Let God take care of it. Let God be God. Let him take care of us. Encourage us. Father, thank you for this time. Help us, Lord, now as we go to our separate homes. Keep us safe. Got a big week ahead of us now. Help us to be more like you. Please, Lord, be with Silvis. Lord, I pray that you just watch over and care for him and give him strength. Be with his mommy and daddy, Lord, and the family. Lord, help him during this time. In Jesus' name and all God's people said, you're dismissed.